This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. As we get closer to November 8, many people are thinking about the issues that are important to them this election, including senior citizens. But as people get older, casting on their ballot can become a challenge, whether it's getting to the polls or keeping up with all of the changes to voting laws. Today, we'll continue our monthly series on issues related to aging by talking about election issues for seniors. Joining us in studio is Terry Lurkey, La Crosse City Clerk, Jan Gallagher, member of the League of Women Voters in La Crosse, and Jim Flaherty, Communications Director for AARP Wisconsin. And we'll start our conversation with a topic that's not only important to senior voters, but to all voters. We've been hearing a lot about rigged elections in this in the national race. And, you know, I just want to ask Terry, you know, is this a problem that Wisconsin voters should be worried about?
No, Wisconsin voters should not be worried about that. Wisconsin clerks are well-trained. Election workers are well-trained. The Wisconsin Election Commission has established thorough guidelines that municipal clerks and election officials need to follow, all the way from acquiring the voting equipment to election day policies and procedures and implementation of the laws.
And so, you know, where are kind of, you know, where do you think these concerns are coming from?
I really don't know. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't believe Wisconsin has a problem. I think we run very good elections here in Wisconsin, and I'm very proud of Wisconsin clerks and very proud of the election workers.
And Jim, you know, is this, the idea of the elections being rigged or problems at the polls, is this something that AARP Wisconsin is you know, hearing about or maybe trying to talk to voters about?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely hearing about it. I would agree with Terry. It hasn't been a problem in the past. It's not a problem this year. I think the election's going to be very well run. I think fear is being created where there is no need for fear. I think if you arm yourself with the right kind of information you need to make sure you cast a legal ballot, you're going to be fine on your end. And if somebody wants to challenge the results after the election, that's certainly up to them. But I've seen no evidence anywhere in Wisconsin of any kind of tampering with the ballot. I think it's a fear that's being created and bubbling over that is non-existent. The problem.
I would echo that. I think that I started as a volunteer this year for the first time as a deputy, registration deputy, and I was very impressed with how diligent all of the municipal clerks are in making sure that any volunteers associated with the process are well-trained, and it's pretty rigorous.
And going on right now, obviously, is early voting. It's been going on for, you know, a few weeks now. Terry, are we seeing people turning out for early voting in La Crosse?
Well, absentee voting in La Crosse County started on, in-person absentee voting started in La Crosse County on October 17. And in the city of La Crosse, we have had people every day, all day long. It's been steady. The lines have not been very bad at all. There are some times where there might be four people in line, but otherwise you can get through the voting process quite quickly in the city of La Crosse.
And Jan, you know, why is early voting important for Wisconsin voters, especially seniors?
Well, I think it's wonderful that Wisconsin has this option. It's not true in all states. And when you think about it, if a senior needs assistance with transportation, it may not be possible on November 8 or whatever the day of the election. And to allow the family members or neighbors to take care of this earlier really creates a better situation for the person dependent on transportation.
And Jim, is early voting something that AARP Wisconsin, you know, is really promoting for senior voters?
Absolutely. You know, the key is to vote, you know, in whatever capacity you're able to do that. Some, if you're confined to a long-term living facility, if you're hospitalized, or if you're not able to get around or don't have transportation, we want to make voting, there should never be an impediment to, for people to get to vote. So however they get there, And with this election, it's great that the courts have said that there can be off-site voting locations. Some communities are doing libraries or municipal centers and extending hours. Anything that, some places that are easier for some folks to get to because transportation will get them there. Now, I don't know about La Crosse. Terry can probably talk about that. But a lot of communities have different facilities available other than just the municipal hall to be able to vote, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Terry, where are the places that, you know, people can early vote? Is it City Hall?
In the city of La Crosse, we do not have any satellite locations for in-person absentee voting. They would have to vote in person in the office of the municipal clerk, and that's right here at City Hall, centrally located in the city.
Great. You know, I think a lot of people talk about how, you know, senior voters are one of the strongest voting blocks. Jim, why is that?
You know, they fought hard for the right to vote. They understand that the freedoms that America has, and it's very precious to them. We were shocked ourselves at AARP when every place we'd go across the state and have public forums that the right to be able to vote openly is very, very strong among the senior population. And once that's threatened, they get very upset and they will activate and do things. One thing to remember with the voting in this particular election that I think we're hearing a lot across the state from AARP is that folks don't think that they need to have a photo ID if the clerks know them by face. We've had people say, oh, it doesn't matter. I've been voting at that location for 60 years. That guy's my cousin. Doesn't matter. The clerks have got to see a photo ID of you or they will not be able to issue a ballot. And that is a misnomer that I think a lot of folks have. So be prepared. Call your clerk's office. Make sure you have what you need so that when you go on election day or if you early vote, you have exactly what you need in order to cast a legal ballot. Because it's going to be an issue, I think, on election day if folks aren't prepared.
I think you're bringing up an important point, and that is the responsibility for voting rests with the municipal clerk. So Terry is our City of La Crosse clerk, and it's her responsibility to maintain all of the rules of the election. But in every municipality, there is someone else responsible, and it's really, I think, a good thing to get to know where that clerk's office is if there's going to be any early voting or absentee voting.
And what you don't want to do is get caught off guard. So call your clerk's office now, or if you're going to be absentee voting or voting off-site or whatever, find out make sure you don't get caught off guard the day of the election when you show up there and you don't have what you need. So be prepared. Like the Boy Scouts, be prepared.
And Terry, you know, Jim's talking about some confusion among voters about requirements for voter ID. Are we seeing some of that confusion? Are you hearing from voters?
Well, I haven't heard the comment about the poll workers know me and I shouldn't have to have an ID. I have not heard that at all. We have been fielding calls for many months now because there's been a lot of publicity regarding the need to present a photo ID. And so, you know, when folks do call us and they indicate it's difficult for them to get to the polls or they indicate that it's difficult for them to have an ID. There are other options that we make available to them. We have been voting by absentee ballot by mail since September 22nd. And so a great number of people in the elderly community that have difficulty walking or getting out of their home have filed an absentee ballot request to be put on what we call the permanent list, to receive absentee ballots for every election. As an indefinitely confined elector, they are exempt from having to provide photo ID. So we have had several, quite a few calls in the last few months regarding that, but we've walked them through the different options. But I agree that if they have not made plans yet to get an ID, they need to inquire what is necessary if they're going to vote in person on election day or earlier.
Can I give you a good website for people to go to if they have
sure.
questions? It's because there's all kinds of rules around hospitalized voters, absentee, confinement, nursing homes, obtaining a state-free ID card. There's a website called bringit.wisconsin.gov, so bringit.wisconsin.gov, and that will have all kinds of good information about the new voter ID law and what it means for all voters, not just the senior population. And the toll-free number, if you don't have a computer, is 1-866. And then it's just Vote WIS, which is 866-868-3947. And that's 866-VOTE-WIS is the toll-free number. And I certainly would just say call your clerk's office is probably the best thing. But if you don't want to do that, that toll-free number and that website are both available.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about voting issues for seniors. What topics are important for an aging population, and what challenges do they face when casting their ballot? We're here with Jim Flaherty from AARP Wisconsin, La Crosse City Clerk Terry Lurkey, and Jan Gallagher from the League of Women Voters in La Crosse. And Jan, you know, what has the League of Women Voters here in La Crosse been doing to kind of help with some of this education?
Well, we started thinking which groups may be impacted the most by the voter, the photo ID requirement, and thought probably the student populations because they're away from their parents' home, and so perhaps they don't have a Wisconsin license and one that will get them through the process. And indeed, some people do have to make special arrangements, and Terry probably is the best to describe some of that for the students. But I said, well, I'd really like to see what's happening for the seniors. And I have to tell you, I was very impressed. My initial investigation showed that most of the high-rises, the Housing Authority has really worked at making voter information available. Some of the senior centers have deputies, special registration deputies, who can make sure that new residents, as part of the entry into the residency, deal with the voter registration. And also, many of the senior centers have been aware of, you know, the activity center, South Side and North Side, have been aware of and made their facilities available for voter registration information. So, it's like everything. You think, when you haven't heard about it yourself, that it doesn't exist. Well, I haven't heard about it because I haven't needed it myself. But when I started to investigate, I found that the city clerk has really been active in making sure that the senior residents programs have access to information that they need.
And Jane, you mentioned special registration deputies, and you know that is a position that will be eliminated, kind of changing after this fall election. Terry, how do you anticipate that will impact the senior population?
I don't believe that it will impact the senior population so much because they're we can deputize officials to register the seniors in the care facilities. So I don't think they will be impacted as much. I personally have used special registration deputies a lot. I rely on the special registration deputies to help with voter registration efforts out in the field for all ages, not just seniors. So I'm going to miss that, but as far as the seniors, I think that there are some safeguards in place for the senior population for that.
And I know that the state is moving to an online system mm-hmm. for voter registration. Mm-hmm. You know, is that an issue that could impact the senior population?
Well, the seniors are more than likely not going to use the online system. They'll probably have to register by mail. And so I think that in those situations, they're probably going to have more contact with the municipal clerks and more guidance on processes. But the care facilities, we will still have staffing available in those facilities to help people that are in assisted living or nursing homes, independent care facilities, to be able to facilitate their registration.
Jim, you know, what are your thoughts on some of these changes that, you know, Wisconsin is making to the way that voters are registered?
Well, any change that Wisconsin makes needs to be made with the intent of making sure that everybody has access to voting. And anything that they do with the intent of trying to stop or prevent certain blocks of people from voting, I'm not saying that's what they're doing. Information needs to be the way to combat that. And I think these two and AARP have done a great job, as have clerks across the state and organizations, to try to make sure people are armed with information. That's the way to combat any kind of attempt to prevent certain people from voting. The one thing I do want to get in is the other question that we hear from our members is, what if your photo ID does not, your driver's license doesn't have a current address? And it does not have to have a current address. The photo ID is to show who you are, but if you're registering to vote, you're going to have something that shows that you live there, an electric bill or something. But your actual driver's license can actually be, I think, a year or two old even, and it still works as a way of identifying who you are. So it doesn't have to have your current address on it. But if you're registering to vote for the first time, you do have to have proof of residency along with you, as well as the photo ID.
Some people are seniors are moving in from other states, in which case their driver's license will not be legitimate photo identification. But if it's a Wisconsin driver's license, even if it's expired, then that will be proof of who you are.
And so, you know, a lot of seniors choose to vote early or choose to vote by absentee. But, you know, we will see some seniors show up on November 8th to vote at their, you know, polling place. Jan, what are some of the common challenges that seniors might face when showing up to vote on November 8th?
Well, one thing that I'm aware of, the city of La Crosse has had some changes in districting, and therefore the polling places have changed for some people. Registered voters are advised by postcard where their polling place is, and so most, well, I believe everyone will be should have received a postcard in the mail. But having said that, if there's any question at all about the polling place, you can check with your city clerk, but you can also go online and check at myvote.wi.gov, and you can put in your address and verify that you're registered, but also verify the polling place.
And Jim, you know, how does AARP kind of, you know, help seniors who want to vote at their polling place? You know, how can they hook up to resources, to whether it's transportation or at the actual polling place?
Right. It's going to be different for every community. And there are parts of Wisconsin are very rural with folks who are confined. The best way I could say, again, is contact your clerk's office. Find out if there is something in your community or some kind of service or even an Uber or something to get you to the poll. A lot of communities will have that service available, that they'll come and pick you up and take you right to the polling places. Other than that, you certainly can absentee ballot, you know, and you can, again, check with your clerk or definitely visit that bringit.wisconsin.gov. Because we want to make sure nobody who wants to vote is unable to on election day. That would just be a tragedy. So reach out, you know, family, friends, churches, you know, whatever. There may be groups available in any municipality that are willing to drive folks to the polls. So just don't give up. Find a way to get there.
Terry, you know, what resources are available here in the city of La Crosse for seniors?
Well, I have not had anybody contact me and say, you know, an organization say that they're willing to give rides on election day. But we do have the city bus, the MTU, and certainly there are there's public transportation that folks can pay to get a ride to the polls. The other thing is, I would just echo what Jim was saying, is request an absentee ballot. There's certainly time to do that. And I would like to mention, too, that this is a presidential election, and so voters should expect to stand in line on election day. The polling places will be very busy, and all of our polling places are handicap accessible, but if somebody has difficulty standing in line, they may want to consider voting by absentee ballot. They have to be registered in order to vote by absentee ballot and submit a written request to the municipal clerk, and they have to do that timely. So they should reach out to their municipal clerk if that's what they want to do.
That's Terry Lurkey, La Crosse City Clerk, here with us today to talk about ways for seniors to vote in the November election and issues that are important to older voters. Also joining us in studio is Jan Gallagher, member of the League of Women Voters in La Crosse, and Jim Flaherty, Communications Director for AARP Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Jan, I think you had one more thought on the idea of, seniors having to stand in line on election day.
Yes, that's really one of the arguments for going to the city clerk's office and voting within 10 minutes, at least. I voted early myself because I'll be out of town, and it was 7 minutes. I timed it because I was kind of curious to see how long it would take to get through the process. I also think that from just a real strategy point of view, if you are going to the polls and do have trouble standing, you may want to have someone with you and maybe take a little camp stool or something to be able to make sure you can sit down. The lines are anticipated to be longer. And people can register at the polls, and if a person is planning to register and vote on election day, definitely be prepared to stand.
And with the photo ID law, that adds more time as well. They got to verify. My mom is on oxygen. For her to stand in line would be very treacherous, so she's going to go in early. So that's an excellent point to say, if you can go in early to vote, please do, because that'll really help you out on election day.
Absolutely. And another issue when talking about election day, I know that a lot of poll workers are often seniors. They fill those roles and help with the election process. Terry, do you see a lot of people who are retired helping out here in the city of La Crosse?
Yes, I would say that the majority of the election workers are retired. I do have some that are still in the workforce. And many of them take a day of vacation, but the vast majority are definitely retired.
And what do you think, motivates seniors to want to help out with the process?
Well, most of them, they want to feel connected to the community. They want to give back. They look at it as a community service. And we do pay our election workers. It's not a great deal of money, but it's a little bit extra that helps. But I do think that it's just a sense of doing their part in this process. And they really enjoy doing that and seeing their friends and neighbors.
Terry, how many election workers do you recruit for, let's say, this presidential election coming up?
Well, I think I'm probably close to 150 for the presidential election. It's requiring a lot more people. And so, at every polling place, I probably have an average of 13 people at every polling place.
And the other thing with the senior population is they are very, very passionate about the right to vote. They understand that constitutional right in America doesn't exist in a lot of places, and so they want to be involved in the process to help any way they can, because I'm not saying the younger folks don't get me wrong, but older folks really do understand that privilege and invest in it heavily.
I think over time, it's not just the history of living through wars and all the rest of it, where duty to country is really becomes forefront. I also think that our wisdom grows over time, and we know how important the individual vote is. We have seen elections won by just a handful of votes. And so for anyone to say my vote won't count is just simply not true.
And Terry, do you think without this senior population that's really stepping up to fill this role, I don't know, do you think elections would run as smoothly? I mean, how crucial, I guess, are they to the election process?
Well, I think they're very crucial. And, just from a staffing point alone, they are usually more available because the younger people that are not retired, they typically would have full-time jobs or part-time jobs and other commitments or traveling and things like that. So in terms of staffing and being an election worker, I need them.
Terry Lurkey, La Crosse City Clerk, is here with us today to talk about voting issues for seniors in the October installment of our monthly series on aging. She's joined in studio by Jan Gallagher, a member of the League of Women Voters in La Crosse, and Jim Flaherty, Communications Director for AARP Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on what topics are important to older voters in our region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the resources we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're continuing our monthly series on issues important to our region's aging population. As we count down to Election Day, older voters have a lot to think about. Seniors can face challenges getting to the polls or waiting in line, but almost all have issues they're passionate about in this election process. Joining us to talk about voting and aging are La Crosse City Clerk Terry Lurkey, Jan Gallagher from the League of Women Voters in La Crosse, and Jim Flaherty from AARP Wisconsin. And Terry, you mentioned during the break that, seniors in care facilities often kind of face a different situation when voting. Can you talk a little bit about, what that process is like for registration and for voting?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in the city of La Crosse, we have 13 care facilities that have been designated to be served by special voting deputies. And we were talking earlier about the fact that I deputize staff at those care facilities to register voters as they come into their facility. And typically what they do is they register them upon entrance to the facility, and they ask them, are you interested in voting the elections? And they help them fill out the paperwork to get on the absentee ballot list. So then what happens is that as we get closer to the election, usually within 2 weeks of the election, I send out teams of special voting deputies that hand deliver absentee ballots that have been requested by registered voters in those designated care facilities, and they will administer the absentee ballots to them. They will offer assistance if necessary, and they would be their witness. And it's a very smooth process. Already this week, we had our first 2 days, Monday and Tuesday this week. We were at the care facilities, and we do have another visit next week that we'll have to do. But that is a very nice process for seniors who find it difficult to leave the facility. Some are in wheelchairs, some are in walkers, and they need assistance. And some of them, they are a vulnerable population. And so the state did set up laws and guidelines for the special voting deputies in designated care facilities.
Yeah, Jan, why is this special arrangement for senior care facilities like this? You know, why is that so important to making sure this population can vote?
I don't know if you ever really move out of the, as a citizen, I can't think of any handicap or challenge that should stop you from wanting to participate, unless, of course, there's an incapacity in terms of decision-making. But most seniors, it's a physical disability, not a mental disability. And so I think it's very important. I think the homebound seniors, I think, are the biggest challenge. And that it really kind of goes back to fellow church members or family or neighbors to ask what can be done to support their ability to participate. As you said, Jim, earlier, I think seniors are disproportionately engaged, much more so than any other group.
The other population that slips through the cracks are the folks that don't have a driver's license or an ID card that has their picture on it. And we do have to let people know they can still obtain a free ID card for voting. You just have to visit your DMV, your local Department of Motor Vehicles office. Now, they have spotty hours, so you're going to want to make sure you do it, and do it very soon because the election is coming right up. They will issue a receipt. If you go in there and get it, then the receipt will be valid to be able to vote on Election Day. But don't put this off. You know, if you don't have a photo ID, you can get this free ID, but you do it soon. So visit your local DMV and check their hours online because they do have very irregular hours.
I want to shift the conversation now to talking more about, issues that are important to the senior population in this election. You know, Jim, what do you think some of the biggest, topics that seniors are really paying attention to on a state or national level?
Well, I'm really glad you brought this up. We've all seen the three debates, and AARP is nonpartisan, but we certainly are not hearing from the candidates about their position on critical issues that are important to seniors, particularly Social Security. AARP has a website set up. It's called 2016takeastand.org. So just www.2016takeastand.org. And you'll be able to see where the candidates, their positions are on the issue of Social Security. This is a program that's going to run out of 25% of its money by 2034, and people are going to be facing drastic cuts. And so it's not a joking matter. It's not a laughing matter. It's not public theater TV. This is a real issue people live on Social Security to get by, and we need our presidential candidates to come to the table with their plans for how to make that program solvent going forward. So we want them to talk. Well, that's what we're hearing all over the state from our AARP members is what are they going to do to make sure Social Security is here for current and for their kids and grandkids. We've all been paying into that program our entire working lives, and we deserve it to be there. So more than anything, Social Security is the number one issue we're hearing about.
Jan, what do you think, seniors are really paying attention to on a state or even on a kind of a local level?
Mm-hmm. Well, another one that comes to mind that's related is the cost of pharmaceuticals and, the prescription drugs. That's an issue that needs to be addressed by our candidates and going forward. And I would say it's not just the presidential candidates, but down ticket. A lot of decision makers have got to address that.
And a related topic is, of course, healthcare, whether that's funding or accessibility. How are we kind of seeing that play out in Wisconsin? What are seniors really looking at as far as healthcare funding or accessibility?
Yeah, I can't really speak too much about specifically about that topic, except to say that I think that the healthcare is important to the seniors, and it's important to the seniors' children and grandchildren. So it's across the board. In some ways, I think that Medicare has smoothed the healthcare costs for people over 65. And so in a way, it's some of the people under 65 or, you know, that are probably right now thinking about healthcare and all the ramifications for our state's participation in affordable care and what's going to happen into the future. But I really have to defer to AARP for more detail than that.
Yeah, Wisconsin thoughts, has a wonderful program called Senior Care, which is a Medicaid program. It's a prescription drug program for folks 65 and over. And Senior Care does allow, the state of Wisconsin can negotiate for lower drug prices, which has keeps that program extremely affordable, which is much different than the Medicare Part D program nationwide, which does not have the ability to negotiate for lower prescription drug prices. So AARP is going to be very vigilant at the Wisconsin state level to make sure that senior care, the waiver to allow the senior care program in Wisconsin is extended beyond its sunset date, because it's a fantastic program. It does keep costs down for folks. And the other thing would be to, you know, to advocate in favor of the state accepting Medicaid expansion money. We infusing more money into that program is going to do help, you know, thousands of Wisconsin residents who have trouble affording their payments to be able to get by month to month. I got to tell you, there's rural parts of Wisconsin we go to where seniors tell us they have to choose between paying rent or paying health care. They're cutting their drugs in half because they can't make ends meet. We got to provide some help for these folks. You know, it's happening right under our noses in Wisconsin. So, you know, these candidates have a lot of work to do.
That's Jim Flaherty, Communications Director for AARP Wisconsin, here with us today to talk about issues that are important to older voters. Also joining us in studio is Terry Lurkey, La Crosse City Clerk, and Jan Gallagher, a member of the League of Women Voters here in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Jim, I want to return to the issue that you brought up earlier of Social Security. Mm-hmm. You know, can you talk a little bit about more about, you know, why this topic is so important for not only the current senior population, but maybe the next generation of seniors kind of moving into that age?
That's an excellent question. You know, we go out to various fairs and expos, and we're all over the place. And the younger folks, more your age, Hope, will come up to us and say, Social Security, it's not going to be there for me. They'll figure out a way to wreck it. I'm not even counting on it. And we're like, are you kidding me? You know, money gets taken out of every single paycheck that you have to go to Social Security, and you're going to need that program for you when you retire. A lot of folks get to the Social Security age where they're ready to take it, and they don't have a backup plan. They don't have personal savings. They don't have 401ks, and they have to live on Social Security, which is about $12,000 a year. Very, very difficult to live on that. But if you are living on that, that program needs to be there, and it faces a 25% mandatory cut if we don't do anything to it. By the year 24, it automatically goes into place, a 25% cut in that program. Imagine $12,000 getting a 25% cut in that. We've got to, if we take actions now for some simple fixes for Social Security, it will be there. But we can't just sit on our hands on this. This is something that's got to be addressed.
And Jan, do you think the issue of Social Security is something that people are talking about, whether it be people who are currently receiving Social Security or, you know, do people understand all the changes that are happening if they aren't receiving Social Security right now?
I do think people are talking about it and are concerned about it. And again, I don't think it's just the seniors who are dependent on it. I think it's the people coming up. Mm-hmm. And it falls under the larger umbrella of affordable lifestyles. And so when healthcare becomes so expensive, then it's starting to impact lifestyle. There are other topics, many other topics that are the same. But long term, are we going to have a lifestyle, a sustainable lifestyle? And what are the issues that might be impacting our ability to have what we used to call a comfortable middle class lifestyle?
Right. And the thing with Medicare and Social Security is folks are living longer. You know, the jobs that we do are less toiling on our bodies and they don't wear out as fast. So we're living longer and the demographics are changing. With the baby boomers, we've got a ton of people moving into that age group. So those are the forces are working against Social Security to stay solvent in perpetuity. So, you know, we want to hear what the politicians have to say, and not just to say Social Security is going to be fine. I'm not worried about it. We're not going to make any changes. It's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. They've got to get to work and come up with some reasonable changes to keep it going.
Looking now to a more of a state issue, our road system and the current condition of roads in our area. You know, is obviously very important to seniors in rural populations. And we're seeing a lot of our rural areas, shift to an older population. You know, Jim, how are seniors kind of paying attention to this? What are their feelings and thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, roads are obviously important. A bigger issue in communities is just general transportation. How do we get around? How do we make our communities livable? ARP is going to be at a seminar later this week in La Crosse with an expert from our national office talking about livable communities. And that's exactly what folks want. How do we get around? What are the best ways, whether it's walking paths or more buses or whatever it be, let's look at ways to make our communities more livable. Certainly repaired roads are part of that, but it's more about the options available to folks.
Jan, how do we see this, issue of transportation, whether it is, the availability of transportation, public transportation, or the condition of our roads? How do we see that playing out in our region?
Well, I think that there are some wonderful, ride assist programs, and we are, MTU has been working, too, on increasing the communities that are served and also, the way they're served. It's just that we have a long way to go. I think we're getting a little bit late start on it. I think for a long time we think of ourselves as not a big metro and not needing to use some of the strategies that the big metro areas use. But I think that was false economy. And now it's going to be more difficult to gear up in all these variety of ways to make sure that this aging population is going to be well served by public transportation. I think that people will be willing to leave their big houses and move into apartments if they knew that the apartments or alternative housing that's a little bit smaller in scale, if they knew that there was going to be transportation available and other support services, for that matter, food delivery services and other things that are not assisted living, just short of assisted living, being able to be in your own home or apartment and be able to have the kind of support that you need. Right now, we have a lot of housing shortages, and some of that housing shortage is that people can't leave where they are until they've got a better alternative. And so we're looking at a network of, or a milieu, I guess, of different kinds of support services for the aging population.
And it goes back again to the fact that our communities are getting older. The populations are getting older, and we've got to be able to keep pace with that. Transportation is only one leg of many legs. You know, you talk about affordable housing for seniors, talk about access to health care, parks, walking paths, all of that comes together to make a community livable. We have to prepare for our communities to get older, because they are. I mean, it's just a reality.
And so, obviously, these are all issues that are important to senior voters, and it can be a lot to keep up with and kind of understand where the candidates fall. Obviously, we want everyone to be an educated voter when they show up to vote. Terry, what would you suggest to people who really want to be educated on the issues and where candidates fall? Where would you kind of send them?
After listening today, I would send them to ARP, because it sounds like they have a lot of good information. I also have been on the League of Women Voters website, and they do have information on where the candidate stands. So that definitely would be something that they could be directed to.
Yeah, and my advice would be become an informed voter. You know, there's lots and lots of misinformation out there from all kinds of sources, advertisements, debates, everything. The more you can find out just exactly what Jan said about where the candidates actually stand on issues, the more you'll be able to cast a vote based on how you believe on the issue. You want your vote to reflect what you believe, and a lot of it is based on misinformation right now. So once again, I'm going to do another plug for this 2016takeastand.org, which will outline exactly where the candidates stand on the issues of Social Security. So,
Jim, why is it important that we're talking about a lot of these issues now? You know, why is it important that we're really planning for our aging population?
Yeah, I mean, nothing could be more important. I mean, the statistics of demographics are real. Nobody's making them up. Nobody's trying to sway public opinion. The boomers are moving in to that age group in huge numbers. And if we're not prepared as communities to make this transition, it'll be chaos. You know, I mean, I don't know about chaos, but we have to have affordable living options for folks. We've got to have access to health care. And I think the candidates can't just ignore that. That's what we're really saying is, you know, you see these candidates out at a public event and they take questions, ask them about it and don't give them a free pass. You say, hey, tell us what your plans are for whatever issue it is that's important to you so that you can hear it from them. Because if we're ill prepared for the future, there's going to be trouble.
Jan, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree with what you're saying. It's I'm the first year of the baby boom. I'm 70 this year. And so the folks coming up behind were large in numbers. I can remember when the schools just didn't have enough room because the numbers were so shocking to the system, if you will. And I've known that all of my life in the United States, watching the pressures that our group, the baby boomers, the post-war, post-World War II, large number of kids were born, and we have been putting pressure on the systems as we've come along. And I think now it's the services to seniors that we're seeing the pressure.
And Terry, you know, as we see this growing population of older voters, how do you think the election process will kind of change or adapt to better serve them?
Well, I do think there have been changes already with the ADA laws, making sure that the polling places are compliant. I do think there have been some changes over the years as a result of the aging population, and I do think the communication has gotten better over the years. I do think that that's very important is the communication, and it's both ways. You know, anyone with questions should feel free to contact their municipal clerk. Contact or review the website and try to get information that way. But I do think there have been some advances in that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that's been a part of this election process that we're kind of seeing grow is, you know, the influx of negative advertisements. You know, that's really, we've heard from several people that's you know, negativity in the election process is kind of increasing. And you know, Jim, I wonder what seniors' response are to the influx of negative ads we're seeing.
They respond to it. It's a scare tactic, and seniors can get scared by things that they hear on the TV or radio. And scare tactics are very effective with all demographics, not just seniors. Once again, I would just go back to, you know, become an informed voter. You know, don't try not to just listen to the rhetoric that's out there and some of the bumper sticker slogans that people are saying. Do your homework. You know, we have an obligation as voters, just as they have an obligation as candidates, to do our homework and make sure that we're educated when we go to the polls, because a lot of candidates win elections based on negative advertising, and that's a shame.
And Jan, I think that Wisconsin voters, in comparison to other states, maybe have a reputation for kind of seeing through that. I don't know. Do you think that that's the case, that senior voters, you know, maybe are turned off by negative ads?
I think that certainly many are. Wisconsin has had a very active history of active voting and active participation in government. I think right now, though, there is a profound sadness. I call it sadness. It's fear, yes, but I think it's also sadness. You know, that it seems it's not the same democracy that people remember from years before. It seems to have gone off track for many people. And it's a kind of lament that I'm hearing.
I would agree with that, Jan. You know, the word compromise 20, 30 years ago used to meant that's what we want our politicians to do. Let's get together, let's talk about an issue, and let's reach a compromise. Now the word compromise has almost become a dirty word. If you're going to compromise on your end of the scale on an issue, then you're perceived as being anti your own party, which couldn't be further from the truth. I agree with Jan. We become more divisive as a political group and as voters, and I just hope this divisiveness can be healed after the election.
We've been talking with Jim Flaherty from AARP Wisconsin, La Crosse City Clerk Terry Lurkey, and Jan Gallagher from the League of Women Voters in La Crosse about issues important for older voters this election and how seniors can make sure to be able to cast their ballot. Today's show is the 10th in our monthly series on issues related to aging. In November, during the next show in our series, we'll hear from seniors from different communities about the realities of getting older. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis.